So here's a question for you. If our God says that he's preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemies, is he still a good God if he gives and takes away? Can we really say blessed be his name in the good times and the bad times? Is it wrong that he says, I prepare a table before you, even though he takes away sometimes? Does that mean he doesn't provide in that table? No, God can't contradict himself, so then there has to be a reason why he takes away and why he gives, because he's bringing us into perfection. And that's really what we're looking at today, but before we get to perfection, I first have to talk about a weed, which is not perfection, right? I wonder if weeds came after the fall, because we had to work the ground. We had to do things the hard way. Have you ever seen these things? Okay, yep, I have some examples here. Yes, well, I could have found a lot more, but I didn't want you guys to take one home as a prize, because these are not good. I didn't really know what these were until Chuck and Carol told me about them. Since we have a dog now, I'm a lot more concerned, but I remember one of our friends, their dog sniffed one of those in, and they were concerned about it working its way up into the dog's brain. That's the kind of thing. Those weeds can only go forwards, and they can't go backwards. So in order to get it out, they have to go to the vet to have it taken care of. You can't leave that weed, otherwise it's going to do damage. Well, what if I had my whole lawn full of foxtails, and I told my dog, okay, go out and play. Would I be a good owner to her? Would I be a good dog purd, like a shepherd, but for dogs? I wouldn't really, because what she needs is safety. She needs a safe area, and she needs security, and she needs to be able to smell what she wants without getting hurt. Well, a good shepherd is one that looks out for those kind of obstacles that happen in his way of providing for his sheep. And God, as a good shepherd, does that for us too. Well, today we are looking at Psalm 23 again, and we've been looking at it for the whole summer. We are on verse 5a, I believe. So the very first part of Psalm 23, verse 5a. If you want to turn your Bibles there, you can. I know most of you have it memorized. But as you turn there, basically, Psalm 22 and Psalm 24 are what comes before and after. Those are what we call the context. Psalm 22 deals with, my God, why have you forsaken me? These are the things that Jesus ran into when he was on the cross. It was all about the suffering that he had to go through. But when David spoke about it, he was speaking about stuff that happened to him, stuff that happened in his past. Was God the God of him in his past? Psalm 23, he talks about, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David is talking about God. Are you the God of my present? Are you the God that's here with me right now? And then in Psalm 24, it talks about the future. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. God, are you the God of the future? And see, the really cool thing is that David did here, he talked about the past, the present, and the future. God is the God of the past, the present, and the future. So no matter what tense you are in, no matter what setting you are in, God is still the God that gives and takes away and can be blessed because he blesses us. So that's the context. It's really neat to see where it's grounded in. This is the present tense that David's talking about. So as we read this Psalm 23 together, I think you'll be able to see the present tense at work. Present tense means today. And I know, kids, you know that, but just in case. So if you would, let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Well done. That was from the New Living Translation. Sometimes it's nice on things that you've memorized or you study for so long to look in another translation. Well, like promised, hopefully it'll work. Yes, we have another chapter of the kids' book, Sammy and His Shepherd. And I forgot it at home, but I mean, it's sad that my wife Amy can't be here because she has to take care of my mother-in-law. But it also worked out really well because she was able to send me pictures. So I can still read it to you. This one's chapter number 8 and is called You Prepare a Table Before Me in the Presence of My Enemies. Okay, kids, do you remember what we talked about last week? No? I had a big stick that had a crook on the end. Does anyone remember what that's called? It's called a shepherd's staff. Yes, we talked about the staff and the rod that made Sammy and his friend Precious feel safe. So now we continue their story. "We're almost there," Sammy panted. "I hope so," Precious groaned. "I have never been so high in the mountains. Are you sure this is a good place for us to spend the summer? I'm not sure I'm going to like being on a hill all the time. What if I start rolling down and I can't stop?" Sammy sighed. He knew he had to be patient with Precious, but sometimes he wondered whether she would ever learn to trust their shepherd. Then he remembered his first trip to the high places and how others had taught and encouraged him. So he explained, "You don't need to worry, Precious. We're going to a tableland." "What's a tableland?" "It's level ground and it's wonderful because our shepherd has prepared it for us." "When did he prepare it for us?" Precious asked. Sammy smiled as he thought about his shepherd. "Oh, he made the journey before he brought us here. He came ahead and made it ready for us." "What did he have to do to get it ready?" Sometimes it seemed that Precious had a zillion questions, but Sammy enjoyed answering them because he loved to tell her about their shepherd. "He got rid of harmful enemies." "What?" Precious gasped. "You mean there are enemies in the tableland?" "Well," Sammy said, "there were poisonous flowers and weeds growing among the grass. We can't tell the difference between what's good and what'll kill us, but our shepherd knows. He came and he cleared the ground of all the things that could harm us. There's a spring with delicious water, but it gets dirty in the winter, so our shepherd cleaned out all the leaves and all the dirt so that we could drink it. He prepared this tableland for us." "So there are no more enemies?" Precious asked. "Oh, there'll always be more enemies. Sometimes wolves creep up behind rocks and watch us, but we don't have to be afraid. We can relax and enjoy this tableland even when enemies are watching us, because our shepherd is watching them. He will protect us." Precious thought about this for a while and then said, "Our shepherd thinks of everything. He even gave me a friend like you to answer my questions." So that's pretty interesting that the sheep kind of see it in a way that the shepherd gives them the grass they need and the water they need and the safety they need. What about God, our Father? Does he do the same? Well, the answer to that question is yes, but we have to discover that too. So if you have your Bibles, you can look on chapter 23, verse 5a. We already read it, but it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." So what just happened is that the shepherd was leading his sheep from the normal pasture land because it's starting to become summer and fall. The pasture land has all dried up, so they have to get to a new pasture, a new field. The way to do that was go through the valley of the shadow of death, or the valley of scary things. But it's the shadow of scary things, not scary things themselves. So the shepherd leads his sheep along there, and they might be afraid, but along the way he has, there's a spring in this valley, and he feeds them. And finally, we get up to this area that's great and abundant because the shepherds made it ready for them. Well, there are two views about this. When I was a kid, I thought that God prepared a table before me. So kind of like this table, but a lot bigger, with all of the forks and utensils and all the things you don't even know how to use unless you're in Downton Abbey. And I would have to sit there, but there would be a lot of food, so I wouldn't mind sitting there because I would probably enjoy it. So that was my picture. But then there's another picture of God as a shepherd. So how would it look for a shepherd, and how would it look for a human? Well, the very first one then is the shepherd, the good shepherd and the sheep. There are summer ranges, and they look like this. They are found on the top of a hill. And normally it's on a flat top of a hill. And in Spanish it's called a mesa. And actually a lot of languages use that. Mesa means table. So at the flat part of the hill, where there's a lot of grass that looks like a table, that's where the sheep go to eat. The most famous one is in my grandcestor's country, South Africa. This is called Table Mountain. And my dad would tell us stories about Table Mountain when he grew up there. See how flat it looks? No, the sheep wouldn't get up there, but that gives you a picture of what it would look like in Israel as they would go over the hills and they finally get to this place where they're going to be for a while. It's a flat area provided for them. The shepherd, this is pretty interesting. What he does is he goes out before the snow even starts to melt to see if that table lands is prepared for them. So if there is a spring, he waits for the snow to melt, and then he cleans out the branches, and he cleans out the dirt, and he makes sure it's there so that it can be clean and fresh, still water. He makes sure the gopher holes or the other animals' holes are filled in so the sheep don't get their feet caught in them and break. He makes sure all of these poisonous weeds like this are taken care of. Over there, I think they call it horsetail, but it's exactly the same thing. If the sheep get it, it can work its way up to their brain or perforate their lungs, so it's a bad thing. So the shepherd has to take care of all this, and it's only the shepherd that does it. The sheep, they don't do anything about it because they trust their shepherd to do it for them. He makes sure that these are all done. Well, there's the horsetail for you. And then this is a picture of a spring and a shepherd giving his flock some water. See how it's the shepherd doing it? All the sheep have to do is walk to the water and drink. But it's all about the shepherd. And that's the thing we kind of see throughout all of Psalm 23. It's the shepherd's work to keep the kids safe. Keep the sheep safe. It's the good shepherd's work to keep us safe. It's not by any work or thing that we have done that saves us. It's only because of the good shepherd. But one of the things he also has to do is he has to keep an eye out for those guys. In Israel, those predators are wolves and coyotes, cougars and bears. And we know that David had to kill a bear and a lion once and to protect his sheep. They would use their rod as their defensive weapon, and they would use their staff as their protecting weapon. So he would always have to be vigilant and watching for this. Now, what it looks like, he would have to trap them or scare them away. But sometimes one would be there nearby, and the shepherd would have to keep a wary eye of them. What these predators try to do, they try to cause a stampede. And when the stampede is happening, all the sheep start running either one side or another, or go down the hill, and the predator is able to pick them off. It's able to pick off the weakest one, the one that's walked astray, the one that's kind of done his own thing. That's the one that the lion or the cougar or the bear takes away. This is the last sentence of one of the books I read. Then one of the flock is bound to fall easy prey to the attacker's fierce teeth and claws. So that's why the shepherd tries to keep a lookout. But sometimes sheep, they want to do their own thing. Remember, sheep are really dumb. Sheep can't take care of themselves. They can't really think much on their own. But they follow the next best thing, even though it might not be the best thing. So these weeds that we looked at, those are the things they want to eat. The dirty puddles that they've accidentally gone to the bathroom in, they think that's what they should drink rather than what the shepherd has given them. And they think that they should walk away from the shepherd. And when they're like 10 feet away, they get scared because they don't know where the way is home. So that's why the shepherd sometimes throws a rod right across their head, not on their head, but across it to get their attention, because it's all for their safety. Well, I have to tie in something. Ephesians 6:12 says that we don't struggle against flesh and blood, but our struggle is a spiritual battle. And our adversary is like this, a roaring lion, a prowling lion that's looking around for someone that he could devour. And what that is someone that's walked away from God. You know, you might say, I believe in God. You might even say, I believe in Jesus. You might even say that I believe that Jesus died for my sins. That would put you into his flock. But when you say, oh, the shepherd doesn't provide all my needs. God doesn't really do all of that. Yeah, I believe it, but what his word says is not true. I'm not going to believe it. We're like those sheep that walk away. Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has gone our own way. When that happens, we're easy to be picked off. The prowling lion is looking for us as we walk away from our shepherd. He wants to take us down. So it would be wise of us to walk closer to our shepherd. And the way we do that is not thumbing our nose at his word, not forsaking getting together, not because coming to church saves you, but because coming allows you to be with other believers and learning new things about God and how to apply it to your life and realize that this is for real. Those are the things that help you, that bring you back to God. And I think the biggest thing is being willing to say, God, I don't know what you want me to think, but please help me. And then being willing to do what he asks you to do, even if it means reading a few verses just to get started. He just wants to get us closer so we can be with him. Everything that is on the tablelands for the sheep, everything that God does for us is all their power. And it's all because of, like the shepherd, he really loves his sheep. That's why he names them all funny names. He knows what they sound like, and they know him so well that even if they are together with a bunch of flocks at that watering hole, when their shepherd calls and they call in a unique kind of voice, the sheep all separate themselves and go and follow their own shepherd. They know their shepherd so well because they've spent time with him that they come when he calls. Can you say that? When God calls, are you still enough to hear his voice? Now, you know, that's the sheep view, the good shepherd and the sheep view. But what about the human view, which lots of people believe is what David means, but David never said. So we have to look at both. Well, it would be odd, and it looks kind of weird, for a sheep to sit. It would be weird for a sheep to sit at a table. It would be even weirder for a sheep to pick up a glass of wine. So David may or may not be talking about sheep, but it sounds like he's talking about humans. So if that's the case, then what does it mean? Well, in the Middle East, hospitality is greatly valued. The needs of the guest were gladly supplied, even if that meant that the host family was going to not eat or not sleep in their own beds, because they esteemed that visitor and they were willing to pay the price for generosity. A person who has taken a meal in one's home was assured of even protection while they were with their host. Even an enemy once served a meal was totally secure for as long as their visit should last. So you get that if you ever go to the Middle East and one of the Bedouins asks you to eat with them, I do it. Because they'll feed you, they'll take care of you, and they'll protect you. Because that's what they do. That's kind of the badge of honor. So that's the context in which David is talking about. That's his family would do that. They would invite people in, and they would take care of them for as long as they were with them. Well, for us, we know that to set this out is a sign of hospitality. To do so in front of your enemies, that publicly establishes that you have a relationship with the host, that you and the host are friends. And the enemies, you know, what do you do of that? Now you're taking this person in and you're friends and you're going to protect them. When God prepared a table before us, he spread out his arms to fill the table with all the blessings and all the goodness that he could. We don't think about the sacrifice that our God, the Good Shepherd, did on our behalf, walking along that lonely, desolate valley of the shadow of death from Jericho to Jerusalem, as he's walking through that, knowing that his crucifixion was coming, knowing that his final days were coming. When he got to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was so scared that he was sweating drops of blood, knowing that he was going to have to take all the sins of you and me and everyone else from the moment we are born to the moment we die, all be put on him. As he was going to Pilate's house to be whipped and scourged, knowing that he wasn't going to be released. When Joseph of Arimathea picked up his cross and as the blood was against his cheek, walked alongside and Jesus stumbled behind him. And as he was on the cross with his arms spread, preparing the table for us in the presence of his enemies and ours, the prowling lion, this is what Jesus, the Good Shepherd, was doing. When he said, "It is finished," what that meant was that all of the things he has done, like George said, he is already victorious, but he had to show us he was victorious. And when he said, "It is finished," the table was prepared. The relationship that we could have with God and with us at the table was prepared. You see, our sin, anything that we do against God, keeps us from him. He's perfect, and we're not perfect. So we can't be with something that's perfect. But Jesus said, "In my perfection, I will have all the sins, all your sins, put on me, so that you can be perfect before my Father, the Good Shepherd." I like this quote. It says, "The picture is one of realization of ultimate communication or communion with God himself. To accept another as a guest at one's table was to set aside enmity and to assume responsibility for the safety of the guest." Well, 2 Corinthians 5:18 says it this way: "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." And then Romans 5:10 says it this way: "For if us, while we were still enemies, were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more now that we're reconciled shall he give us life?" Does anyone know the last part of Psalm 23? "And I will dwell..." Okay, he set a table, right? And the custom is to take care of your guest as long as they're your guest, as long as you are hosting them, as long as they're in your house. David says, "I will dwell in the house of my Lord forever." Where the table is, where he is my host, where I am the guest, and he is fully preparing everything for me, and he will fully protect me. So only something eternal could give us that promise. Only eternal God could say, I will give you this table right now. I will provide for you. I will bless you. But you will never leave my house. In fact, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. That's what David is saying. He's saying that God has prepared all this for us. Jesus has made the way in preparing the table and saying, it is finished. Will you come? Will you realize what I have sacrificed for you? Because I love you. I know you by name. You're not a number. You are a name to me. And our shepherd, he doesn't remove all our enemies. He prepares a table in the midst of them, and he helps us not be paralyzed by them. We can be attacked and weak. We could be wavering and wondering about our faith, but when we come to God's table, we're refreshed in the presence of our enemies. When Satan is condemning you, when he's condemning me, when I'm aware of my own failure, my problems, my just annoying things, my inability to feel like I'm worth much, when I'm reminded by that, what Jesus does is he takes us and he hugs us and he reminds us that he has chosen us and we are his. I come to the Lord's table and remember once again that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses me from all my sin. So you see, David, he's telling you some pretty great things. In one sense, the shepherd, he prepared this place for the sheep. He took care of everything, and he's still watching out for them, watching for those predators that are watching them. God does that for us. We cry out to him, and he's still there beside us, but he assures us of his presence. He gives us that peace that passes understanding, even when we don't feel it. And then if God's the host, he's the one that goes to prepare a place for us. That's the host's job. And what he's doing is setting that table up. And he's asking you, will you partake with me? If I knock on your door, will you open it and let me come in? Will you eat with me and I with you? God wants to be that close to you. And yeah, you might feel that that's a high and lofty thing, but I challenge you, do you know anyone else that loves you more? If you do, I guess you should go to that person or thing. But I promise you, they're going to let you down at some point. They're going to walk away. They're going to run away. They're going to leave a void in your heart. And the void, you know, is only that big. You know, it's probably a cross-shaped void in all of us that only our good shepherd with arms outstretched could fill, saying, the table is finished. I've prepared a way for you. Come eat with me, and I with you, and dwell in my house forever. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for, helping me be able to mentally have clarity where clarity was not there. Please open up the minds and the eyes of those that are listening, and even myself, for us to be able to hear your voice. And we might be deciding, okay, is what you say is true? Has what your actions done made a difference? And God, please prick each person's heart so they can hear it. And if they've isolated the Holy Spirit so much that they've closed a wall or made calluses around their being, please, through the Holy Spirit on the inside, start to gnaw away at that so that they can hear the small voice that says, you are my child. I have adopted you, and you are perfect in my sight. Come to me, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are done, so I would like to, before you leave, send you off with a benediction. So if you would stand with me, and our benediction is found in John chapter 10, and it's verse 14 and 15. and 27 through 29. And this is what Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. My sheep, they hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And finally, verse 6 of chapter 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And the clincher, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord, eating at his table that he has prepared for me forever. Go in that truth. It's really good to see you. You're dismissed.